Well, I can't tell you exactly what went on down there, but it seemed like some sort of arguing match between Ziggy and the third base coach for Lakeshore, and the Rafters down 11 runs here. And not a great spot to be in, and so Ziggy will be talked to by the umpire crew real quick and about whatever it was that happened, and so Ziggy will head on back to the dugout real quick as he didn't seem to argue with them at all. And well, I didn't really see much coming from Ziggy. It seemed like most of the arguing came from Lakeshore's third base coach. However, I don't have as good of a view on Ziggy as I do over at third base. So maybe I missed something. And well, either way, runners on first and second with two outs and back to play as the first pitch to Heidler misses high for ball number one. 1-0 the count, and the Rafters now eyeing down that second loss of the second half. They would move to 500 with a loss here, but still got two innings left as the 1-0 count misses inside for ball number two, a 2-0 count. And Preston Steiner still struggling out the gates of his Rafters career. He's allowed three hits and three walks along with a hit by pitch early on as this one is grounded foul down the third base line and off towards the Rafters bullpen. Hat fell off there, and I thought for a second it was Drew Thompson. Turns out it wasn't. Brent Gallegos down there. 2-1 count, and with two away, Steiner trying to work out of this inning. He'll bring the pitch home to Heidler, and it misses low for ball number three. 3-1 the count, and well, the Rafters will be taking on the Madison Mallards coming up next, and the Mallards will host the Rafters for one game tomorrow as this pitch is taken for ball number four. Second walk of the game for Steiner as it loads the bases here in the eighth. The runner on first, Bubba Heidler. On second, Cade Sears. And on third, it's Jesse Aguirre. Brings up Esteban Garcia for the sixth time this game. And Garcia has the bases loaded with two outs in the top of the eighth. 13-2 Lakeshore. And the first pitch misses over the head of Garcia for ball number one as he ducks out of the way. 1-0 the count. And Garcia 1-for-3 on the game. Grounded into a 4-3 putout his last time up back in the seventh inning. 1-0 count coming home. It is on the outside edge, called for strike number one. That's a way to paint the corner. So now a 1-1 count as Steiner looks to deal with the lefty at the plate. Lefty-lefty matchup. Pitch on the way home. This is a swing and a miss on a pitch inside the hands to bring it 1-2. Rock Parmer on deck if it gets to him, but Steiner hoping that this inning will be over after this plate appearance. 1-2 the count. Steiner looking home. Brings up the leg, fires, and it misses low for ball number two. 2-2 the count, and Steiner, he's got a nifty little mustache going for him. No beard, but maybe one of my favorite mustaches on the team. 2-2 the count, misses outside for ball number three. Now, I am one to talk. I've got a little bit of a mustache myself with a little bit of a goatee. I like facial hair, I tell you what, especially when it's styled, especially with the way that Steiner's been styling his mustache. 3-2 the count, coming home, runners going, but it misses outside, ball number four, and that's another walk as Esteban Garcia is on for the fourth time this game, his third walk, and Bubba Heidler goes from first to second, Cade Sears goes from second to third, and Jesse Aguirre comes home to score on Garcia's bases loaded walk. Brings up Brock Parmer, to the plate in a 14-2 Lakeshore lead. Here in the top of the eighth inning, pitch coming home. It misses high for ball number one, and it's a 1-0 count. Palmer, left-handed hitting catcher for Lakeshore. Up for the sixth time this game. He was retired for the first time, his last time up in the seventh inning. This one's hit out towards center field, though. Hata is there, and he'll make the catch for out number three. So, three runs come across in that inning off the two hits. The Rafters did not commit any errors, and the Chinooks left them loaded. We head to the bottom of the eighth. It's 14-2 Chinooks here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Mikusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Let's get back to the Rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
New pitcher on the mound. It's a right-hander for the Chinooks. Coming in for James Reese, it's Brantley Upshaw. Upshaw into the game for James Reese, and that was after Reese ended up his night going one inning, and in that one inning, Reese allowed no runs on two hits, no walks, and one strikeout, no hit batters, no balks, no wild pitches, faced four total batters, and threw a total of 13 pitches before handing it off to Upshaw. Brantley Upshaw, he comes to the Chinooks from Georgia State, where recently Drew Thompson committed to. At the plate, Junior Barajas takes the first pitch inside for ball number one, and it's a 1-0 count. And the Rafters' offense right now held to just two runs that came across in the bottom of the fourth inning. Barajas, no hits in the game. He has yet to reach base. He's 0-3 as this pitch misses high for ball number two, and that's after a very strong start to the season for him, where he entered today batting .357 over the three games with seven RBIs and an 1,100 OPS. 2-0 the count. Pitch comes home, and it's fouled back to bring the count 2-1, and still a 2-1 count as Upshaw will look to work through it. Just a freshman from Georgia State, native of Ely. 2-1 count comes home, gets a big swing and a miss for strike number two. 2-2 the count. Upshaw 6'8", 245. He is a huge guy out there on the mound, able to create a lot of leverage on his pitches. You can see that right now. He's got a 2-2 count. Going to try and see if he can retire Barajas. Pitch on the way. It is taken for ball number three And the count runs full. 90 miles an hour on that fastball. And with Caden Sigmon on deck, that's who the Rafters will see next. And then Nick Adrian is also due up in the hole. 3-2 count coming home. It is taken for strike number 3. Barajas thought that was ball number 4 and tossed the bat. Started working down towards first base, but called for a backwards K. And that another time the Rafters have been retired by the strikeout. Brings up Caden Sigmon to the plate. With one out and the bases empty in the bottom of the eighth, Rafters down 14-2. And here on Independence Day, not quite getting the performance that they were hoping for, but looking to at least look forward to the rest of the second half as this pitch misses low to Sigmon for ball number 1. And well, they've got to get some momentum rolling along, and especially in every player's individual plate appearances, it does matter a lot what they do. 1-0 count to Sigmon. It is taken north of the zone for ball number 2. 2-0 the count, and Sigmon, he is 0-1 in the game. He struck out swinging back in the sixth. Came in as a pinch hitter for Jake Beauchesne, and Beauchesne had gone 1-2 before he was taken out of the game. 2-0 the count, and it misses high for ball number 3. 3-0 the count, and with Nick Adrian on deck, Sigmon is hoping to get on base and represent that first Rafters base runner against Brantley Upshaw. 3-0 count, taken high for ball number 4, and the Rafters do have a one-out base runner as Caden Sigmon will walk on down to first base. Brings up Nick Adrian to the plate with one on and one out in the bottom of the eighth. Rafters down 12, and Nick Adrian, the right-handed hitting catcher, still no official at-bat in the game. He came in as a substitution defensively for Lachlan Maud in the top of the sixth inning. First pitch on the way. This one misses way outside and bounces off the dirt, goes all the way to the backstop as Sigmon will jog on his way to second base on the wild pitch. And now a 1-0 count to Adrian. Just didn't come out of the hand right there. And that is now 5 straight balls thrown by Brantley Upshaw. Looking back to second. Make sure that Sigmon is on the bag. Adrian's at the plate. Righty-righty matchup. Pitch on the way home. This one misses outside, but a nice snag by Brock Harmer is able to keep it from getting away. And now a 2-0 count. Sigmon in scoring position, and the Rafters 14-2. Safe to say it's not looking good. And 2-0 count taken in there for strike number 1. And this is always an interesting spot for players because obviously you're playing to win, but you're also playing to show off your ability. So even in a game like this where it's 14-2, everyone's kind of going up there and saying, hey, I want to prove myself. And the 2-1 count on the way is taken upstairs for ball number 3. 3-1 the count. These guys, no matter the situation, they're going out and they're trying. And so the Rafters, that's something that they can look forward to from everyone that they'll see here. And you get enough of those, and maybe you'll get yourself some momentum. 3-1 count, taken low and away for ball number 4. Back-to-back walks from Brantley Upshaw as the Rafters with runners on first and second and only one out in the bottom of the eighth. And before we get to Eric Harper, it'll be a quick mound visit from the Chinooks as they talk things over with Upshaw to make sure that he's all right. Everyone on the infield coming in and having a chat. And Harper, the right-handed hitting second baseman, waiting to step into the batter's box. And well, the pitching visit didn't take too long as Seems like Brantley Upshaw got what he needed to have talked about. And now we'll get ready to pitch against Harper. Harper from NOC Tonkawa, batting 250 on the season. Righty-righty matchup. Pitch coming in. It's grounded foul down the third base line. And an 0-1 count to Harper. So an 0-1 count. Harper 0-2 in the game. He struck out looking back in the sixth inning his last time up. Drew a walk in the fourth. 0-1 the count. And pitch now on the way from Upshaw. It is sent over towards the left side of the field, and that one gets over the head of the shortstop. Here comes the runner from third, Sigmund, trying to score. It's going to be a big RBI double for Eric Harper. And that is a nice piece of hitting for the Rafters. Eric Harper picking up his second hit in a Rafters uniform after making his debut yesterday. Nick Adrian now at third base, and Caden Sigmund came around to score. It's 14-3 in the bottom of the eighth. So the Rafters getting a little bit of offense going, and like I said, that's what you're wanting right now. You want a little bit of momentum heading into the next game, and Luke Skinner now going to try and keep the offense moving. Left-handed hitter for the Rafters. It's a lefty-righty matchup as the first pitch misses inside for ball number one. 1-0 the count, and Skinner 1-for-3 on the game. He flew out to right field his last time up back in the sixth inning. Also struck out swinging in the fourth and singled in the second. Takes this pitch outside for ball number two, so now a 2-0 count, and with the runners on second and third, Luke Skinner trying to send him home. At the very least, get on base, keep the inning going. 2-0 count. That one is high for ball number three, and 3-0 to Skinner. Upshaw really struggling with his control here in the eighth. Came in for James Reese after Reese had his one shutout inning. Now a 3-0 count to Skinner. Pitch coming, and Skinner was taking all the way as that one's on the inside edge for strike number one. Skinner didn't even put the bat on his shoulder at that point. He kind of still held it in front of him, taking that pitch. So a 3-1 count with one out, and the runners on second and third. Pitch to Skinner, grounded foul down the first base line, and now the count full. And Skinner picked up his first hit back from injury earlier in this game before he's gone 0-2 since. So trying to make it a big game for him. Has a chance to drive in some runs. Full count on the way, and this one is popped up straight back and trying to find it. It will be caught by Brock Parmer for out number two. So Brock Parmer was able to locate it behind the plate just eventually and in time to record out number two. So brings up Landon Gads to the plate with two outs and runners on second and third in the bottom of the eighth. Rafters down 14-3, and Landon Gads was a pinch hitter for Kobayashi earlier in the game. And, well, he had a single as the pinch hitter, but was forced out at second the next plate appearance. This one hit out towards right center field, running back out to it. It'll be caught by the second baseman. Not a bad piece of hitting, but not able to find open grass as Garcia trails out and makes the play. So the Rafters are able to manage one run in the inning, but that not quite enough as they score one run on one hit. No errors and two left on base. We head to the ninth, and it is 14-3 Lakeshore here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Let's get back to Rafters baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
And the Rafters turning to a new pitcher as Ashton Poole comes into the game after Preston Steiner came out for the Rafters. And, well, Steiner did not quite have the performance he was hoping for, going one inning. He allowed 3 runs. All 3 were earned on 2 hits, 3 walks, 1 strikeout. Also hit 1 batter with a pitch as this one is hit over towards shortstop, picked up by Carlson. Throw on to first. They got him. And Nate Gray is retired for out number 1, 6-3 on the putout. One up, one down in the ninth inning for Ashton Poole, as Poole looking to get some positive momentum. And Poole, the right-handed pitcher from Iowa Central Community College, takes on Owen DeShazo as the first pitch to him is taken for strike number 1. DeShazo, 3-for-4 in the game with a walk. He's been good today, and this pitch taken a little bit outside for ball number 1. Now a 1-and-1 count. Danny Nzunza is on deck, due up. 1-and-1 count taken inside for ball number 2. Now a 2-and-0 count. Sorry, 2-and-1 count. Righty-righty matchup, and the pitch here misses just a bit away for ball 3. 3-and-1 to DeShazo, who walked back in the 8th inning. He struck out swinging in the 5th, and he singled his previous 3 times up. 2-and-1 count, misses outside. Sorry, 3-and-1 misses outside. That's ball number 4, and DeShazo is on for the 5th time today. 5 times on base for the right fielder for the Chinooks, and man, he has just been a problem to the Rafters this season. And it brings up Danny Nzunza to the plate, and Nzunza, the right-handed hitting third baseman for the Chinooks, up for the 6th time this game, takes the first pitch for strike number 1, and I hope you're having a great 4th of July, and thanks for tuning in to the Rafters broadcast here on WFHR as that one's taken outside for ball number 1. And, well, not quite the performance that we've been waiting on from the Rafters. Had entered this game 4-1 over their past 5 as this one misses outside for ball number 2, but a big-time performance from Lakeshore, and they have the 14-3 lead here in the top of the 9th. Runner on first base is Owen DeShazo, 2-and-1 count. Gets a swing and a miss from Nzunza for strike number 2. 2-and-2 the count. And Nzunza looking for that first hit of the game. 0 for 3 as he takes this one a little bit low for ball number 3. 3 and 2 the count. His last time up, and Zunza flew out to center field in the 8th inning. He walked in the 6th and the 3rd innings, though. 3 and 2 count here. Swing and a miss. Strike number 3, and Ashton Poole gets his first strikeout of the game. Poole, the 6th pitcher of the game for Wisconsin Rapids, after coming in for Preston Steiner. And Steiner, just a tough outing for him. A couple of tough outings for the Rafters, and that's got them here as the first pitch on the way to Drew Reynolds is taken outside for ball number 1. 1 and 0 the count. And Drew Reynolds came in as a pinch hitter for Tyler Preece earlier in the game, back in the 8th inning. Swing and a miss brings it to a 1-1 count. Drew Reynolds from the University of Maine, batting 181 on the season, but when he gets a hold of one, he gets a hold on one. 6 home runs on the year, 19 RBIs, and sends this one into right field. That gets down for a hit off the inside of the hands, and throw coming in from right field from McIntyre keeps the runner there on third base and on first as well. So a 2-out single from Drew Reynolds puts runners on the corners with 2 outs in the top of the 9th. Rafters just trying to get out of here without any further damage to be done. But Jesse Aguirre, a chance to add to the Lakeshore lead. The Chinooks have scored 14 runs in the game, looking to make it 15, as this one is fouled back by Aguirre. Brings the count 0-1, and the Rafters did manage a run in the bottom of the 8th, thanks to the RBI double from Eric Harper. But outside of that, the only runs came across in the 4th inning, and that was on the 2 RBI single from Hayden Carlson. This pitch missing outside brings it 1-1 to Aguirre. And Aguirre, he is now 1-for-3 in the game after singling in the 8th inning his last time up. 1-1 count from Poole on the way home. This one's hit out towards center field on the run back. Hata misjudging it at first, but he's able to readjust and make the catch for out number 3. So no runs come across there in the 9th inning on the one hit. There were no errors and 2 left on base. We head to the bottom of the 9th. Rafters need 11 here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Logan Schulfer coming into the game for the Chinooks, and a name that is very familiar to many Rafters fans out here.
It's you can't escape
another appearance for the... It's another appearance for the former Rafter here for the Chinooks. And coming back into the game, Schulfer started off the season pretty strong. And, well, now up to a 5.02 ERA. Hasn't been the best turn of things for him. But his last couple outings, not too bad. Over at Green Bay, 1 1/3 innings without allowing an earned run. And at Madison on June 27th, he allowed just the one run over 1 1/3 innings. First pitch on the way here in the bottom of the ninth to Hayden Carlson is taken inside for ball number one, a 1-0 count. And back against Wisconsin Rapids on June 22nd, Schulfer got the start. 1-0 count. The check swing, did he go? No, he didn't. It's ball number two. 2-0 the count. He's pitched against Wisconsin Rapids twice this season, and in a combination, he has gone five innings pitched, allowing two runs. Both were earned as this one is popped up towards the shortstop, and it is caught by Heidler for out number one. Rafters down to their last two outs, down 14-3 here in the bottom of the ninth, and looking more forward to next game for the Rafters, where they hit the road and will look for a fresh slate. And this one really got out of hand early. A six-run first inning for the Chinooks put them on top 6-0, and the Rafters offense not able to respond until the fourth. And at that point, they were down 11-0 as the first pitch here to Noah Hata is taken for strike number one. So an 0-1 count. Hata, the left-handed hitting center fielder, came in as a defensive substitute for Royce Clayton earlier as this one's hit into right field, and that will get down for a hit. Out towards the warning track, he's rounding for second, and Hata will stay put at second base with a double. So a 2-for-2 game from Noah Hata. He singled in the seventh, now doubles in the ninth, and it is now a runner in scoring position with only one out in the bottom of the ninth inning. Rafters still down 11 runs, though. They're going to need a lot more than that. And Carson McIntyre, the right-handed hitting right fielder, up for the fifth time today and looking for his first hit of the game. Went 2-for-3 in the game yesterday. First pitch here, it's a swing and a miss for strike number one. 0-for-3 today as he struck out swinging his last time up back in the seventh inning. Popped out to first base in the fifth, and he flew out to second in the third. But he did draw a walk in the first inning. 0-1 count, taken below the zone for ball number one. 1-1 the count, and McIntyre from Oregon State University and off to a bit of a cold game today, but you have those every once in a while. 1-1 count. It's fouled back as the count now rolls to 1-2. On deck, it's Junior Barajas. And Barajas, a surprising 0-for-4 in the game. So now a 1-2 count in the righty-righty matchup with McIntyre. Here comes the pitch from Schulfer. Swing and a miss. That's strike number three. And Carson McIntyre is struck out for the second time this game. Two outs in the bottom of the ninth. Rafters down to their last out, going up against the speedy Schulfer. Schulfer throws mid-90s on his fastball. And, well, in his seasons with the Rafters, back in 2023, had a 1.8 ERA over 15 innings pitched. And the previous season in 2022 was even better as this one is hit over towards shortstop and it's going to eat him up. Was in the spot to make the play, but the shortstop, Bubba Heidler, couldn't quite take it. And it bounces out of his glove as Junior Barajas able to get on to first base. And Noah Hata over to third. So an interesting single for Junior Barajas. Runners on the corners with two outs, and it brings up Caden Sigmund, the left-handed hitter who sends one into right center field. On the run back to center fielder, he will make the catch at the warning track, and that is out number three. Finishes off this game in the ninth inning. The Rafters in the ninth, no runs on two hits, no errors, and two left on base. Final score, Rafters lose it 14-3 and can't quite keep the win streak alive. So post-game show will come up next as we'll talk about how it all happened and a look at the numbers along with a look ahead towards next game. That all comes up next here on WFHR Wisconsin Rafters.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Great question. I don't know. Welcome back into the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters post-game show here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Austin Thomas, and, well, it was not a good news Friday night as the Rafters ended up dropping this game 14-3, and the Rafters, I mean, it was just an all-around great performance from Lakeshore, and the Rafters, not too much that they could do about it, as the bullpen really locked things down for the Chinooks. And, well, the offense certainly proved themselves early on and kept it rolling late into the game. And so the Rafters unable to win 3 games in a row. And, well, they dropped their second game of the second half, now falling to 2-2. And taking a look back at how it happened in the first inning, 6 runs came across for the Lakeshore Chinooks, 4 RBIs, an error, and a wild pitch. A stolen base sent the runner home, and so then it was 6-0 at the end of the first. Top of the third inning, and another run comes across for Lakeshore, this time off of Drew Thompson on an error of him throwing over towards first base that went wild and allowed the runner on third to come home. Then the fourth inning comes across, and 4 more runs score for the Chinooks, and that was on A.J. Buonasetta, the new reliever for the Rafters, as he struggled in his outing. And, well, allowed the four runs as they came across on a couple of RBIs and two on an error by Eric Harper. In the bottom of the fourth inning, the Rafters were able to get two runs on a two RBI single from Hayden Carlson, but from that point on, they wouldn't score for a while. Then in the eighth inning, finally the score would change. Top of the eighth, it was a three-run frame for the Chinooks. They scored three runs, a two RBI single from Jesse Aguirre, and an RBI bases loaded walk from Esteban Garcia. That made it 14-2. The Rafters able to work one back in the eighth inning on the RBI double from Eric Harper, but ninth inning comes around and they can't get any more runs as Logan Schulfer shuts it down here in Wisconsin Rapids. Final score 14-3. Looking back at the numbers for the Rafters, Noah Hata 2-for-2 with a double and a single in the game. He did pretty well as a pinch hitter. Along with that, Eric Harper had an RBI double and a walk. Not too bad from him. And Landon Gaz 1-for-2 in the game, while Hayden Carlson went 1-for-3 with a walk and two RBIs. On the pitching side, the starting pitcher Tristan Krusenberry, just one inning, he allowed six runs. Drew Thompson went two innings pitched, allowed one run, and maybe the relief pitcher of the game, Tyler Pacetti, who went 3 1/3 innings and did not allow a run on just one walk and two hits while striking out two batters. So that was kind of a look back at the stats. Also worth noting, Ashton Poole went one scoreless inning as well in the ninth. And that's basically a look at the numbers for the game. So the Rafters heading to Madison tomorrow. They will take on the Mallards as Kenny Schultz will start for the Rafters and hope to turn it around for Wisconsin Rapids. And Charlie West on the mound for Madison. He will be taking over for the Mallards. Both of them have been off to less than stellar starts to the year when it comes to their ERA, but Schultz has had some very impressive performances, and West has had some performances that weren't bad on his end either. So that'll be the matchup for tomorrow. First pitch is 6:05, not 6:35, 6:05, and so a little bit earlier, and the pregame show going to be starting at 5:50 p.m., and looking forward to that game, but that's about it for tonight's broadcast. A big shout-out to everyone who helped make this happen, and, of course, to all my coworkers and colleagues here in Wisconsin Rapids, but also to the coaching staff for always being helpful and sharing their thoughts with me. And along with that, a big shout-out has to go to our pregame guest of the show, Hayden Carlson, for joining us, and, of course, Jeremy Jones, who joined as a color commentator for us there in the fourth inning. A lot of fun to have him on the broadcast and get to talk about things despite the score of the game. So one more time, the Rafters end up dropping the game. Rafters 3 runs, Lakeshore 14. From myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you and have a great rest of your night.
It's renovations. It's renovations. They're ripping ball all my plans. He made a way frame by frame and built me with his hands through it. is renovations. Always renovations.
Wow. That is great.
Thank you.
Dom's clapping. You can hear Dom clapping.
Hey, yo. Yeah.
Very nice. So this will be on the new release in July 2, correct?
Actually, no. So that's more,
that's
more
really new then.
Yeah, really new. I wrote this one about 4 weeks ago. But this one's going to probably be out next year sometime.
Okay. So. Oh, that's a great song. I love that song.
Thank you.
You have such a great voice too. It complements your guitar playing so well.
Thank you.
I still have trouble with the bar chords.
Oh, me too.
Do you really?
Yeah. Didn't you hear it?
No, I didn't. Then you do one where you just hold one finger down for those three strings.
Oh,
I don't
yeah,
know
that's
how
an
you
a.
do. Why do you do that instead of the three fingers?
Just because it's easier, easier if you're going to go here and then here. So,
that's impressive.
Yeah, all right. It's all the mechanics around it. I don't know. I'm still learning every day.
You play piano too, though. And
I do.
You said in an article that I read about you that you write better with the piano, but you like the way the guitar sounds better. Explain that. That's interesting.
Yeah. I love how you do your homework too, Pete. Props to you.
I'm terrible students, except about stuff I really like music and.
Well, so I said that in an interview a couple years ago, and what I meant by that was, I love how the soul is drawn out of me with piano.
Yeah.
And I can apply that on guitar, after I write it, but sometimes it's hard to find the soul.
Wow.
On the guitar, unless you specifically write that way. Which at that time I didn't. So
that's a really great answer. Well, I have one more writing question for you. When do you write? Do you have a specific time every day? Do you write when the mood catches you? Do you have a process or is it sort of open-ended?
So I'm always open to ideas that come to me. And what I do, I have a little note on my notes app and I write it down.
Okay.
And I'll write a little bit of let's say it's, this next song that I'm coming out with on my record in October, it's called Holding On to Hope. And so when I got that idea, which was actually in the shower, I wrote it down after I got out because, that would have been a little messy. I got out, wrote it down, but then I also wrote what it would have been about next to it. So I could remember that idea. And then I went into a room with specific people who I know that would just crush that song.
Oh, so it's like a group collaboration.
Yeah, so it's a collaboration, but I'm always open to ideas.
That's
so,
excellent. I've
anytime.
Got some song ideas.
Really?
Flip them your way.
We should write. Yes. I'll give you 50%.
Well, 50%?
Yeah, it's usually how it works.
I've been looking for someone to compose this song I had. I'll just give you the title. It's What Is This Thing on My Foot? Can we do something with that?
Depends on what that means. I don't know. Is it catchy?
I don't know where that came from. I find it's hard for me to talk about feet. That's why I went
feet.
Came completely out of left field. I was not ready for that whatsoever.
Tom, I hate feet.
Stay on your toes. I like feet for their purpose, but yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. Can you stay for a couple more minutes?
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. We're coming right back with Kalen Coles. We're hanging out in the studio here in Madison. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwava. We're coming right back.
When I come back to the room, everything goes zoom, zoom. I turn my amp up loud, began to play. It was late at evening.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The American cowboy is everything that makes this country great.
There's a freedom to being a cowboy.
Being a cowgirl is not a safe, easy path, but it's one that's very rewarding.
The American cowgirl is dedicated to her livestock. She's dedicated to her country, and she's dedicated to her family.
The American cowboy is honest.
We're the backbone of how this country was founded.
There's a whole lot of legacy that goes along with being a cowboy, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
Boot Barn, keep west.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thomas Jefferson is credited with most of the text of the Declaration of Independence, but the independence part came from a Virginian named Richard Henry Lee on June 7, 1776. The First Continental Congress sent a list of grievances in 1774 to King George III, among them the loss of their rights under English law, the occupation by British forces in peacetime, and the oppressive coercive acts passed by Parliament to shut down colonial unrest. The King and Parliament didn't respond other than to pass more restrictive laws. By mid-May 1776, 8 colonies supported independence, including Virginia, which directed its delegates to support independence at the Second Continental Congress. Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee on June 7th presented his resolution for independence to the Congress in Philadelphia, which tabled action until July 2nd. In the interim, Thomas Jefferson, with light editing by Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, crafted a statement which would become the Declaration of Independence, which included Richard Henry Lee's independence resolution word for word. Resolved that these united colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved. Read the full Declaration of Independence at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Stay cool this summer with AC Pro refrigerant at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get a $15 gift card after rebate with the purchase of select AC Pro refrigerant products that include a hose and gauge. If your vehicle's AC is blowing hot air, beat the heat with AC Pro. Visit your O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. We got a text from Steady Eddie. He's in the 608. Kaylin, you mentioned living on a prayer before, so Steady Eddie tailored his text around what he heard. He says, living on a prayer, that is the song title of your songwriter's first big hit. She can work out the lyrics and melody. All I want is 25% of all the proceeds. You're welcome, Steady Eddie. Sorry, Steady Eddie, get in line, buddy. She's writing, what is this thing on my foot first?
Yeah, sorry. Priorities.
Get in line, pal.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Steady Eddie. That is awesome. And then Andrea from Grafton says, The Shining or Psycho are hotel room movies, or you could just watch the news. That would be worse than The Shining or Psycho. But thank you, Andrea. We've got a few more minutes.
She's not bad, or she's not wrong.
No, I totally agree. The news is much more horrifying.
It's terrible.
Kaylin Cole is here for a few more minutes. She's joining us in studio. She is back here in her home state of Wisconsin playing several shows this weekend that you have to go and follow her. We kind of gave people the basics, but
yeah,
they should follow you and find out where these shows are.
Yeah, please.
You talked about in Green Bay, you had this obsession at the moment with stand-up comedy.
I still do
find you very funny, but why would you make a career jump like that? You've got like 8 years in the music business.
Yeah.
I think you were doing it tongue in cheek, but still.
But I don't know. I feel like it would be, I mean, comedy alone is hard, but like clean-ish comedy is harder. Mm-hmm. Like, what's his name? Nate Bargatze.
Yeah.
People love him, but his stuff is clean and it's so funny though too.
Right.
But I would love to do, I don't know, like somebody told J-Lo that she couldn't dance, sing, and act. And she said, watch this,
yeah.
You know? So I'm like, comedy is just so fun for me to consume, but also I would just love to do it. I had a show in December of last year. I was going to say a couple months back. But there was a comedy ramble in Nashville at Zany's.
Yeah.
In Nashville. And so they had asked me to play 5 songs of my own at the end of that comedy ramble.
Oh, nice.
So everybody was already attentive and tuned in. And I played and cracked my own jokes. And I was like, wow, maybe I could do this. And it was such a good time.
I have to share this. I did a show called Comedy on the Road in the 90s. There was all these A&E shows.
You know,
the Improv, Caroline's. Yeah. And then I did comedy on the road at Nashville and Zanies.
Yeah.
Or at Zanies in Nashville. And I loved all the Zanies in Chicago. That's where I started doing stand-up. And then I got there and I just, it was on TV and it was not a good set.
No,
nobody did great, but I felt like I did worse than everybody. So I don't know if I insulted people somehow or I did wear a big cowboy hat and boots. Maybe they thought I was trying
to
fit
y'all.
Into-
Hey, dude.
I had a big piece of straw in my mouth.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I rubbed people the wrong way.
That's hilarious because the second song coming out of my album, which is going to be in August, is called Try in Country. And it's about me writing about all the fake cowboys and cowgirls in Nashville.
There has to be a lot of them.
So many of them.
Posers.
It's like, just be yourself, you know? And, you know, I might get some hate for the song, but it's how I felt.
Yeah, and you went there when you were 18, so you're like a true, you're doing this, you're authentic.
Yeah, maybe I don't sound like I'm 100% from Wisconsin anymore, but that just naturally rubbed off. But I'm not like, hey, y'all, how you doing? or singing with a twang in my songs. I don't do that because I don't have a twang when I talk. So why would I do that?
What do you listen to when you're not playing?
Actually, I have only been listening to like Forrest Frank recently, if you know who that is. Do you know who that is?
I don't, but I'm going to look him up right now.
Yeah. Go to the Google.
Forrest Frank.
He's so good. And if my boyfriend's listening, he's going to be shaking his head because that's all I play in the car. And he's like, God, help me.
What is he, country?
No, he's actually like Christian right now. And he does stuff with like Thomas Rhett. And he's done a bunch of collabs. And he's really good. He was from the band Surfaces, but then went his own way. So, but then also Brandon Lake. I love listening to him. Jelly Roll. It's cool.
Yeah.
Chris Stapleton, obviously.
Mostly country?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly country, mostly Christian, some Christian country.
You have a religious background. I don't hear, I hear spirituality in your music, but not blatant religious lyrics. And I would not have guessed that about you, that you're religious, mostly because of the way you behave. But I mean, like, I think that's, I've always liked artists that do that.
Yeah.
Like, their music is very spiritual, but it's not like over the top, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I just try to, recently I've been trying to live it out more, you know?
Yeah.
And parents always say, do what I say, not do as I do, but I'm trying to do what I do, you know? Trying to be, so many people nowadays are looking for answers and like looking in the crazy directions as to what is the answer to my life and purpose. And I'm just trying to, you know, kind of help people in that realm as much as I can, I guess.
I think authenticity as an artist, you can't ever fake it. No. And people will,
you can smell fakeness a mile away.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And even people you might think, oh, they're not going to know this, but people know. They're like juries.
Yeah.
You know, they can sense when someone's not being real or is not being authentic. Mm-hmm. Do you have a movie you can't turn off if you were in a hotel? You must stay in a lot of hotels. If it's late at night, what is a movie that Kayla and Cole can't turn off?
So I would have to say Twilight.
Oh, that's... No, listen.
I'm one of those people.
I have to say, I found that movie really... I got dragged to it by my wife, but I was like kind of hypnotized by it.
Really?
I thought it was kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the soundtrack is just amazing, though. I just love the soundtrack. And I would say that or there's like this Holy Water commercial that if you buy this Holy Water, you'll get like Uber's amount of money. It's such a scam, but it's always on in hotel rooms, and I think it's hilarious.
Kaylin Cole, knock them dead this weekend. Blow the roof off the places. And please come back again soon. I love having you on the show.
Yes, you're likewise.
Uber talented.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work and break a leg.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Always. Kaylin Cole, folks, check her out this weekend if you're in the Madison area. Follow her on social media.
Is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. At the White House today,
A flyover by B-2 bombers, the same aircraft used in the U.S. strikes on nuclear sites in Iran. It took place after President Trump signed his tax and spending bill into law.
The golden age of America is upon us. We are in the golden age. It's going to be a period of time the likes of which I don't think this country has ever experienced before. We're going to make America great again, and it's happening very fast.
The bill narrowly passed in the Senate this week with Vice President J.D. Vance casting the tie-breaking vote, and President Trump reached out to GOP holdouts in the House before the bill passed 218 to 214 yesterday. CBS's Erica Brown reporting.
The legislation increases spending for border security and defense and extends Trump's 2017 tax cuts. It also makes steep cuts to safety net programs, including SNAP, the Food Assistance Program, and Medicaid.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.